solemnly swear that we are up to no good.
Welcome to We Solemnly Swear, a Mick Olson podcast. We are a group of sisters who are diehard Harry Potter fans who want to share our crazy passion and knowledge for the wizarding world with our fellow Potterheads. Today we have...
Nadine, your hopeful Hufflepuff.
And Lexi, your heartfelt Hufflepuff. It's a Hufflepuff episode today!
Hufflepuff! Love! Puff pride! Yeah!
and actually, Nadine, have me and you ever done an episode, just the two of us? Oh, we have. The Graveyard.
Yeah, we did The Graveyard.
That was a good one.
Or was it the... Yeah, it was the... No, we have two episodes. We have The Graveyard, and then we have the fourth book. Like, highlight. It's like a fourth book highlight.
Oh, we have some weird episodes out there, guys. If you've listened to this many episodes, thank you.
We love you.
Just us sitting in our... Nadine's in her closet and I'm in my bathroom, so really professional here. Yeah, so today's episode's going to be a little different than our normal. It's kind of, obviously it's Harry Potter tied, Harry Potter adjacent, but we actually, if you didn't know, have a celebrity in our midst.
Oh my gosh.
No, we'll talk about it a little more, but Nadine actually went viral a few years ago, and it was for actually something really, really sweet and cool, but also really, like, emotional, and it's like a whole thing, and we're going to dive into most of it today. So I'm going to try to ask Nadine questions, but Nadine, as we're going through this, like, you share as much as you want, but also if I, like, get stuff wrong or if you have more to say, then, like, let's just jump in.
We'll just dive right in, man.
Dive right in. So it's 2016, and you are pregnant with your second child, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know the gender at this point?
No, actually, we were not 100% sure on... our son's gender, like, he would not show us for the ultrasound. So even up until he was born, we were not 100% sure. We were given, like, 90% you're going to have a boy.
We're pretty sure.
Okay. You're like... All right,
so
good.
We should prep both names then, right?
Yeah, so we didn't really know. We didn't really know what we were going to name him, and we didn't know what to expect. So we were just like, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, which actually didn't turn out like a normal pregnancy, right? Like, it wasn't, let's wait and see what happens. At that gender ultrasound, you got some pretty intense news, right?
Yeah, so we were going in to find out the gender, and we weren't able to find it out, but we did find out that I didn't have any amniotic fluid. I had a little bit. But my water was basically just gone, and he didn't have, that fluid, which is super necessary for the baby's development, specifically the lungs, and all of that. So he, didn't have any, and we were just given, like, a lot of unknowns at first, because we didn't know what caused it, but then as we did more tests and more time went along, we were just fairly, because then I had like a, so I had a little bit of fluid, and then one day, like, all the fluid was just gone and it never came back. So they just said my water broke, like, in my first trimester of having him, basically.
Oh my gosh. And most everyone should be familiar with at least the concept of pregnancy, that your water doesn't break until you're, like, going into labor, right? Yeah. And so having it, no amniotic fluid in your first trimester, or even when they found it at 17 weeks, is, like you said, Nadine, super dangerous for the baby and, like, very not common. And...
yeah, like, naturally... Oh, yeah, sorry. So, yeah, like you said, like, naturally, your body, when the water breaks, it releases all the hormones to, like, send your body into labor. So they just basically were like, you're gonna go into labor any minute now, kind of a thing. And that just didn't happen. And I had a point to bring up, but I forgot what it was. So maybe ask your question and I'll think about it.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, so you find out at this gender ultrasound that you don't have amniotic fluid. They start doing tests. At this point, it's just you and your husband in those doctor's appointments, right? I'm thinking of COVID, of like, you were by yourself, but this was way pre-COVID.
Yeah.
But then you also have, how old was was Elsie at the time?
She was, so our daughter, our firstborn was like 18 months. Yeah. So they're pretty close in age, our first two. And then, she was basically a baby herself. And so she wasn't ever allowed to, you know, come to the visits or anything like that. So she just had to find childcare and all that.
Yeah, so with this, with you not having any amniotic fluid, what were, like, your options in front of you then? Like, what were the next steps for you?
Well, they kept saying, you know, prepare for the worst because you should be going into labor. But then also my body wasn't showing signs of going into labor. And so they just kept saying, well, like, we'll just see, like, one more day, like, one more day down, one more day down. We'll just take it a day at a time. But they didn't say, like, I couldn't do anything until Brayden became viable, which basically means that he could survive outside the wound without me. So right now they're marking that about 23 weeks pregnant. That's when your babies are deemed viable. When we first found it at 17 weeks, it was basically like, well, we do nothing except hope that you don't go into labor. And when you get viable, then you can come on hospital bed rest and be admitted to the hospital and just stay there until the baby comes.
And that's what you ended up doing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we ended up doing because, as I mentioned before, I had a little bit of fluid. And then I had, like, a complete rupture where there was no more fluid anymore. That happened when I was, like, in my 22nd week. And so I was so close to that viable mark. But I was also having a lot of other complications with, like, abruptions. Like, I was bleeding all the time. And it wasn't just, like, you know, like, spotting or anything. It was, like, actually the placenta, like, tearing away from my body. So it was, like, my own blood. And, I would lose a lot and all this stuff. So anyways, they just decided that I needed to, like, once I had that complete rupture, that's when they were like, okay, well, it's time to admit you. You're basically at viability. And so I asked to speak to a NICU doctor and just understand my options and
that's yeah, like what would happen with Brayden, right? Like,
yeah, like I was like, am I making the right choice by, like, am I just setting him up for a life of, like, am I torturing him by staying? Like, what's going on here? And that's when I was advised to abort him by this doctor because she just said that if he were to live, basically he hasn't been developing inside me at all without the fluid, and that if he were to be born, you know, he won't be strong enough to take his first breath. My water had been broken for so long, like, chances are that me, like myself, I was going to get a horrible infection. My son was going to get a horrible infection. Because she said that normal babies at this stage have, like, a 5% chance of survival. She's like, but your baby's even worse because he hasn't even had fluid. So there's just no way that any good can come of it. And so that's when she told me, she's like, you shouldn't prolong suffering, because, like, we all know how this is going to end, kind of a thing. So don't, like, leave your baby, my other baby, at home and put the strain on your family. So she suggested that I abort the pregnancy, and I just was like, well, I don't feel like that's the right choice, because I'm like, I'm not going into labor. She's like, but you are going to, like, any minute now, because I had that complete rupture. And she's like, we're talking, you know, you might have 24 hours and this is all going to happen. And I was like, okay, well, if it's going to happen, like, it's going to happen. And we'll do it when it happens. And she's like, okay, well, it's going to be painful and all this stuff. And so I just
was like, well. She was just saying, like, don't prolong the inevitable. If you know it's going to happen, get it over with and done.
Yeah. And that's why I just kept saying, but it's not happening. And she's like, well, it's going to happen. I'm like, well, I've been like this for, you know,
who knows 17, how long, right?
Well, yeah, like from like 15, 17 weeks. And now I'm here at 23 weeks and I still haven't gone into labor. And now I'm going to just sit in a bed all day. So I'm probably not going to go into labor. So I just decided to do it. And yeah.
Gosh, Nadine, that's huge. So how long were you on bed rest for in the hospital? Which, again, how far away is the hospital from, like, where you were living?
Yeah, so it was like a 40-minute drive from our house to this hospital. And I was there, so I got in just a little bit before 23 weeks, but it was basically 23 weeks pregnant. And then Brayden was born at 27 weeks. So.
Yeah, freaking huge shout out to your husband, your parents, like, everyone who stepped in to help. Your 18-month-old who was still at home. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so she moved in with my parents, basically, because my husband had to go to work every day to pay the bills that I was racking up and keep the health insurance going and all that stuff. So, but there was a neat, like, some Garrett only worked, like, 10 minutes away from the hospital, so he was actually closer to me when I was at the hospital than if I had been home, so that was nice.
Gosh, that's crazy, Nadine. So, I know a lot of this story and a lot of the reason why you went viral a couple years ago sharing this story was the connection to Harry Potter. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so when I first wrote the post, it was kind of like, it wasn't well known that I was a big Harry Potter fan. I didn't run a podcast yet. so when I wrote this post, I had to explain to some of my friends that I was like, I'm a big Harry Potter fan, just so y'all know.
I have a pass to Harry Potter world and live 2,000 miles away. Yeah. Big Harry Potter fan.
It's a big problem. It's not a problem, but, you know. I always grew up inspired by Lily Potter, obviously. She sacrificed for her son, and it was the belief in that power of love that, of, like, a mother's love that, like, helped carry me through, you know, this trial of ours that lasted, like, a total. So either I was in the hospital or Brayden was in the hospital, because Brayden was in, when he was born, he was in the NICU for 76 days after he was born. And then I was in the hospital for the, you know, 6 weeks before that. And so our family was never together for, like, a total of, like, 111 days to be exact. And, and so, like, that's kind of it, like, the belief in, like, the mother's love of, like, if I don't do this, like, he doesn't have anyone, you know, like, no one else can do this for him except me. Like, I can't, I mean, maybe we could do a uterus transplant and put it in someone else and, like, someone else can do this for me.
No, but even, like, his dad physically can't do anything to help, which I'm sure was so debilitating for him too. But like, literally, it was like you were the one as his mother who could protect him and give him life, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I could not. And that's a lot of pressure too, because it's just like, that's a lot of pressure that moms have in general. And what's the stress of pregnancy? Like, it's just like, this is my body. And if something goes wrong, like, it seems like it's on me because it was my body. Like, something went wrong, which is just mom guilt for you. But like, that's what I could do for him, and no one else could do it. So we all know that quote from Albus Dumbledore. But I mentioned it in the post that went viral. I mentioned the quote that said, your mother died to save you. If there is one thing Voldemort cannot understand, it is love. Love as powerful as your mother's for you leaves its own mark. To have been loved so deeply, even though the person who loved us is gone, will leave us some protection forever. So that's the famous quote from the Philosopher's Stone. And so my tie to Harry Potter in the post was, I'll just read that paragraph. Says, now, I did not die for my son, as complicated as my pregnancy was. I never came close. Even though I, as my specialist had put it, lost a lot of blood, my life was never in great risk. My point is that I was safe. I was in a terrible situation, but I was safe. I had, like, great doctors, great nurses. Like, I was being really well taken care of. So I wanted that point to be...
Yeah, you were on the brink of dying yourself, right?
Yeah. I was at, like, they just kept telling me, and especially at the beginning, like, all the risks that I was taking. And they definitely didn't, like, sugarcoat anything. but I was also in really good care. But then I said, but I did put my own health at risk for fighting him. And as I mentioned, I was bled a lot, sometimes in really scary amounts. Then I said, okay, although I did not die for my son as Lily Potter did, I gave my life for him. I gave up my everyday life, including raising our 2-year-old daughter. She wasn't quite 2 yet, but I rounded up. And laid in a hospital bed for 5 weeks to give him that opportunity to live. I gave him protection and the best possible protection inside of me and receiving a mother's love. So that's kind of like...
so beautiful.
Yeah. Kind of how I tied it into the Harry Potter. And the title of the post is The Boy Who Lived. And there's a picture of Brayden with the chapter, The Boy Who Lived, and all of that. Because really, like, that's who he is. I was told that, you know, even if he did live, you know, he would never see or learn or walk or talk or even have, like, the strength to take his first breath. Like, that there was basically no hope for him, which I don't do well with that. So.
Nadine's name means hope, by the way, so... But really, though, like, I love this. I'm going to read part of your message, too, a little further down, Nadine. But it's, you say that he is my boy who lives. He won't go on to live a life defeating dark wizards, playing Quidditch, attending Yule balls, and going to Hogsmeade like I would have hoped. But he'll have a life full of trials and growth. Brayden will have a good quality of life. It's true that he is 6 months and only about 13 pounds, still requires oxygen, and will probably need physical therapy for a couple years. He's our fighter and will go on to do amazing things. And then you keep talking about how life is hard, like you're not alone out there, that there is hope. It's such a beautiful message, but I think the most beautiful part of this whole story is to see Brayden today. Like, I know you've done a few follow-ups to this post. But like, I know it was his birthday this week, and so you just did another follow-up to that. Like, talk about, can you tell our audience about who Brayden is today?
He's a just a ball of energy. So he just turned 5, and he's like a call him a comedic. He's definitely, like, his drive in life is to make you laugh. He's very quirky. He's very funny. He's very smart. He is really athletic. So the post I just did, like, he loves soccer. Every time he plays a soccer game, he scores, like, 4 or 5 goals. And he's just, like, a champ.
He's competitive, like his parents.
He's really competitive, but he's also just really sweet. He's also, like, his sister, it's hard because I compare them, and she's just, like, firecracker, and he's, like, my sweet and sensitive boy. So, let's see, what else? Yeah, he starts kindergarten in the fall, and he's, like, back on the growth charts. Like, he's got a clean bill of health. I took him to a new pediatrician just a couple years ago, and I didn't, like, withhold the information about his health history, but I just wanted to see, like, with this doctor, like, not knowing anything about his medical history, I just wanted to see, like, if he could detect anything, you know, like, and so I just waited to tell him until after he, like, listened to him and was running all of his tests, and after he's like, okay, is there, like, any past important medical history I need to know about? And I was like, well,
actually.
And so I, like, tell him everything, because, like, when Brayden was born, like, he popped a lung. Like, they were right. He was not strong enough to take his first breath. he took one, and he cried, and they immediately rushed him to the NICU. They just passed him through a little window that was, like, right next to us in the operating room. And, you know, they tried to intubate him, and it didn't work, and nothing was working, and he had to, so they had to give him surfactant and all this stuff. I could go on the medical side of it, but.
And, like, after he was born, too, because, like, we talked a lot in this episode just about, before he was born, but so much happened afterwards, too, right? Like,
yeah.
I remember visiting you in the hospital, and you still hadn't been able to hold him, right? Like, you could touch his hands, but.
Yeah, I was barely even allowed to touch his hands because they had IVs and, like, everything through him. His lung popped, his heart started failing, and, like, that first day, like, his oxygen saturations, you're supposed to be at, for between 90 and 100%. That's what we breathe as regular, like, health, like, that's what healthy lungs should be at. And he was at, like, 40 or 50% for, like, the whole day, for, like, the first couple of days, which is really bad. Like, your brain needs oxygen, and without it, your brain cells die and all this stuff. And he had brain bleeds, and his heart was failing. He had chest tubes, and wasn't breathing on his own, and he was fighting everything, and he, so the first day when he was fighting everything, they told me, this was kind of it. The doctor called me down, and she's like, we can try one other technique, but that's basically where we're at. We're at, like, the end of the road, and if this doesn't work, then we're gonna unhook him from all of his machines, and we're gonna hand him to you. So he can pass away peacefully, like, with you holding him. And, like, that's where we were at for, like, the first couple of days, just, like, waiting for him to turn around. And luckily, this last technique that they did worked. Spoiler. And so, yeah, he eventually got better, but it was, like, such a long, slow process, just so full of so many unknowns and the terror of, like, we're seconds, minutes away from the end. Like, we lived there for, basically, I felt like it was, like, 111 days. Like, that's where we
were. Yeah. No, that's such a dark place to live.
Yeah, it was very stressful, but it really paid off. That was kind of the theme of my message of like the reason why I wanted to share the story with people is that it was so hard, and it was, to this day is one of the hardest things I've ever had to go through. But that it was a fight worth fighting.
Yeah.
That like I'm glad, like for me personally, like I had to know that I did everything so that I could, like I had to give him everything and do everything for him and give him everything I could so that I could know, I could find peace in that,
Or
knowing
else you'd
that,
always wonder what could have been. Yeah.
And it's that theme of like, you don't know how strong you are until you have to be. And also the concept of like, life doesn't get easier, you just get stronger. And I really do believe that like nothing about anything in life is easy, and nothing ever gets easier. We just human as human beings, like we're resilient, and we can do hard things, and it's worth fighting through those hard things. Even if, for me personally, this is how I view it, but like even if he had died and passed away, like it was worth fighting that fight for me so that I could know that I did everything for him that I could.
Yeah. No, and I think that's important for everyone to remember too, is that like those things shape who we are today too, right? Like I know you probably think I know you think about that on probably a daily basis, and it's still like emotions to sort through and like fears that build and shape who you are, and that's like a super normal thing, but also like I don't think people really talk about it either. And not that I don't want, I'm not like putting you on the spot to talk about that either,
Oh,
but
yeah, I'm
it's
pretty open to
like
talk
full
about it.
transparency. It's like those, when these types of events happen in someone's life, it's not like it happens and then you're over it in a couple months and you're like, I'm happy and dandy now, right? Like.
Yeah, that was a really difficult part of it too, is that you ex I experienced trauma. Like, there are moments in the story that like if I go to those places, if I allow my mind to go there, like I'm not okay. Like there's definitely a lot of triggers there. But the shoot, I forgot my what I was saying, because I started talking about trauma.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're good. But it's just important for people to realize that it's okay not to be okay, and it's okay for those experiences to shape your life. And I think I remember what I was saying now is that it's really hard to be grateful for trauma.
No,
It was like I
right?
was given like the best gift possible, which is like him living, because that's what I just prayed for the entire time. It's just like, please live, please live, please live. And then I get that, I got it, and so I needed to be grateful for it. But in order for me to have gotten what I prayed for, it came with all this baggage. So it was like, it's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to feel two conflicting emotions at the same time. Like it's okay to be grateful, and it's also okay to be hurt, and so it our brains are just really complex and like very capable of feeling polar opposite emotions at the same time.
At the same
And
time.
that's like it's okay to feel that, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, is that like it's normal,
Yeah.
and
It 100%
you have to
is.
feel those feelings, is what
Well,
I
and
learned.
like one of the things, I mean, if you any of you had like would meet Brayden today, you would never guess that any of this was in his past, right? And I think about like the I don't know why this came to mind, but I think about like water, like the shallow water, like you would never guess anything is going on deeper, right? It's like looking at Brayden, you would never guess. And I feel that way with the Harry Potter books too. Like people from the outside probably just look at them and they're like, oh, it's about some boy who does magic. But like the deeper you go, like there's so much more to Brayden's story. There's so much more to the Harry Potter world. Like there's a lot of depth, and they explore these emotions of trauma and of love and of loss and how to cope with it. Like, I don't know. I just love that you were able to connect this like really emotional journey. It's not even an event, right? Because it was like hundreds of events all in. You're still living it every day. Yeah. But like you were able to connect that to something that we love so dearly because it has those deeper roots.
Deeper ties. I agree. That's why I think so many people are bonded to the Harry Potter series, is that there's something for everyone. You know, like we all know a Luna, we all know a Hermione, we all know, I mean, to an extent, like not like that we're werewolves like Remus Lupin, but like there are stories out there. Oh, we know, just kidding. But there are people and experiences that connect you to the depth of the characters and everything.
Like living stereotypes or prejudice, like living through those types of things are shown in the books.
And losing, you know, losing loved ones and everything is so. And even if you don't have, that's what I like about the stories, is that they, like these life experiences, they teach you about different life experiences, even if you haven't lived them yourself.
Thank you so much, Nadine, for talking through this all. I know, like you said, there's a lot of trauma that goes with it. But Nadine was brave enough, and I know, be kind with your comments, you know, because we get so many comments on our podcast. Yeah, we do, man. But really, though, like Nadine was brave enough to share her story a few years ago. And like I said at the beginning, it went everywhere. Like you guys probably saw it and didn't know that it was, you were going to listen to a podcast from this lady someday. But I love that Brayden is your boy who lives. Like he's living and happy and thriving today. And the story's not over. That's so cheesy, but it's true.
He is going to live a life. Dark wizards. Just kidding. I still think his letter's gonna come. Just you wait.
Maybe his Aunt Lexi will cook up something.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We should actually set that up for all of our kids.
Yeah. We still have a couple years till the first one hits 11, so.
Yep.
We'll do
have like an inauguration party. That's, we've been wanting to plan that giant Harry Potter party for years. Mm-hmm. We'll just have one every time one of the kids turns 11.
Yeah, we'll put a hat on their head and they'll take the quiz.
Yeah.
That's why I told Garrett, my husband, because we just got back from Harry Potter World, and you know, they have like the ornaments and the stocking hangers and all that that are associated with each house. And he was like, you want to get these for all the kids? I was like, right, but not until they're properly sorted. Like, I can't. Even though I think my oldest is a Gryffindor and my...
She's a Gryffindor.
Yeah, 100%. Or, you know, I'm like, I can't pick that for her. She's got to take the quiz. And who knows what she'll be when she's 11, so...
Who knows? You may have a Slytherin on your hands.
They're very similar. It's very hard. Similar.
It's literally just the motivations that set them apart, but like actions are the same.
Yeah, it's the Hufflepuff in me though that I'm always like, but you're a Hufflepuff. I'm like, I could make a case for everyone I know to be a Hufflepuff, and that's what my that's what my husband said. He's like, that's the Hufflepuff in you talking. He's like, you just see the good in everyone. I'm like, you're just a good person. You're a Hufflepuff.
I love it. Anyways, well, thank you Nadine for sharing your story. Beautiful, super heartfelt and hopeful. I love it. If you guys have any questions or want a link to the story, I'm gonna make you DM us on Instagram or Facebook and we'll send you links to the story. But remember, you can follow us on social media. We're at We Solemnly Swearcast, and tell us what you think. Ask us questions about the Harry Potter world, because who knows, they may just inspire us to podcast about it. So send us your thoughts.
mischief managed.